Blog Talk Radio.
Come belle c'è la luna, brille strette, strette come butto belle pasticcia. Sotto il cielo di Roma. Da each avenue of the street or strad, you can see him disappear two by two on an evening in Roma. Do they take a first press? So yeah, I guess so. On each lover's arm, a girl I wish I knew on an evening in Roma. Though there's grinning and mandolining in sunny Italy, the beginning has just begun when the sun goes down. So please meet me in the plaza near your casa. I am only one and that is one to you. On an evening in Roma, don't know what the country's come to, but in Rome do as the Romans do. Will you, on an evening in Roma? Come bella c'è la luna, brilla stretti stretti come butto belle pasticcia, sotto il cielo di Roma. Don't know what the country's coming to, but in Rome do as the Romans do. Will you, on an evening in Roma, sotto il cielo di Roma, on an evening in Roma.
Hello everyone, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Podcast. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Okay, I don't know what the hell happened here.
All over the country.
Let's try this again. Hello, welcome to the show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening. This is Lori Picka from Michigan, and we hope to have a good show lined up this evening.
Yes, yes. And tonight's topic, Season 6, Episode 57, is America in a Political Panic. Is America in a political panic? If yes, what can be done to stop it? Who started it? And is it too late to make amends and start fresh? As you all know, the election coming up in November 2024, the first Tuesday in November, November 5th, 2024, Democrats have Republicans against the ropes because for the past 2 years they have done nothing but put women's issues up front, reproductive rights are on a chopping block. Immigration, they've done nothing to stem the flow of, as they call it, illegal immigration. They're trying to take out Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, keep calling it entitlements. So, what does America do? Because everything that Democrats try to do and make America better, Republicans fight against it. So, Carson, tell us what you think. Do you think this election is going to be closer than people expect it to be, or do you think Democrats will win in like a huge, landslide? Because everybody's sick of this, Donald Trump situation where he has four trials, though April 15th is one, the first one that's going to be starting. And, Trump was recently at a fundraiser in New York. And he actually was bragging on camera that he made people rich. And that's his constituency, mm-hmm. not yours, not mine, but, for mm-hmm. corporations and rich individuals. So if you continue voting Republican, you're stupid. That's all I have to say. That's all I can say. you know, because, you know, Trump shows time and time again that he doesn't care about you or me, but just corporations and rich people. So give us a call, 515-605-9802, say your first name, where you're calling from. And Jack Smith urged Supreme Court to reject Trump's presidential immunity claim in a filing ahead of the Supreme Court hearing. Jack Smith laid out a series of arguments against Trump's claim that as president, he has absolute immunity from criminal prosecution. So, you know, he's no longer president. So does that apply to Joe Biden as well or any other person sitting in the chair as president of the United States? You know, so the 66-page filing from Smith and his team laid out a series of arguments taking aim at Trump's claim that the president is immune from criminal prosecution. Prosecutors urged or argued that there are no presidential powers that would be entitled to Trump to immunity in this case, and that the history likewise refutes Trump's arguments. You know, so what do you think about it? You know, that was a good move by Jack Smith, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. He's being proactive is what he's trying to do. And you have to think about this as well. I mean, if the Supreme Court decides to give Trump immunity, they will be knee-deep in politics, as far as I'm concerned. And they're not supposed to. That's not part of their job. They're supposed to be impartial. And the other thing that I think about is that, what about the next president after him? Or, what if that's a rotten apple as well? You know, can they do whatever they want and then they can claim immunity? You know, that's not right either. So I think the Supreme Court needs to do the right thing, use logic, political gain, you know, not politics, use logic. So it would be not to give him immunity. Because what he did was wrong, and no one, no politician should have immunity when they try to, you know, destroy the country. No, you know, all the classified documents in Mar-a-Lago, you know, all of that. It's wrong. It's what traitors do to their country. And no immunity for him. As far as I'm concerned. But I don't trust this court. That's my other word. I do not trust this court.
Yeah, and if that were the case, then Richard Nixon would have immunity. And, you know, Richard Nixon didn't have immunity. So what Trump's talking is illogical and stupid. Yes, and like I said earlier, Donald Trump, he was speaking at a fundraiser in New York, which he claims that, you know, his campaign announced that it was a $50.5 million donation haul. And, you know, of course, you know, you can't really take their word for it because Trump always lies. You know, we all know that a couple of weeks back, former Presidents Obama and Clinton was at a fundraiser in New York for Joe Biden, and that carried in $26 million. So he's always trying to upend President Biden. And, you know, you really can't take Trump's word for it because he's a liar. That's what he does. That's who he is, you know. So to hell with Trump, you know. Yeah, we're going to take our first call and everything. That was quick. number to call, 515-605-9802. Say first name and where you're calling in from. Hello, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
This is Doris.
Doris?
Hi, Doris.
Hey, Doris. How are you doing?
Fine. I don't know if you had last night, but I have my granddaughter over here. Anyway, what you're talking about is theoretically, now we wouldn't go that way, but theoretically, if they said that you have immunity, then Biden could have Trump bumped off and all the people bumped off, and he'd be safe. But they, they can't. But I noticed that although Jack filed something regarding, you know, this case, I don't know where it's going to go with Cannon, but there may be a possibility something could be done, but I saw that Trump filed a case against one of the judges, and I think the ruling that he should have a different judge, and I think they decided that that wasn't going to happen. So he's desperate mm-hmm. about going to any trial at all. So I was glad to hear that. Also mm-hmm. saw that the military heads, they didn't say their names, but they presented or sent whatever they call it, you know, to the Supreme Court. And that usually mm-hmm. the military don't get involved in this stuff, sent like mm-hmm. a brief to the Supreme Court about the mm-hmm. immunity thing. And because if he has immunity, then the president could order the military to do something that's wrong, that the military aren't protected from, you know, you don't have to do that. And anyway, they wrote something, which rarely happens, so they feel the same way. The military shouldn't be in a spot where you got to do what the president does, asks you to do, no matter what. And they presented apparently a brief. It hasn't been, I haven't seen a response yet. I just saw that that happened, which I was glad, because they rarely mm-hmm. get involved in politics. But they kind of know what we're dealing with. So I thought that was good.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Supreme Court should keep their nose out of it. I don't think they should have even took the case at all. You know, that's a mm-hmm. bad sign, in my opinion. You know, Trump thinks that they owe him. They don't owe him mm-hmm. anything. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's just another, it's anxiety for everyone in this country. I don't know. I mean, basically what we need to talk about a little bit too is people are on edge. I was just talking to one of my friends, and she was saying, you know, I am under so much stress. She said, I feel like my life is good, but because of these politics and what is happening in this country, she says, I feel stressed every day. And, you know, and that's not healthy for anyone to feel stressed every day. And she says, and what are we going to do, you know, if he doesn't win? Are we going to go to Canada, you know? And I'm like, Canada's not going to take us. They're not going to take, you know, the United people from the United States, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is. It's something that's hanging over our heads. He has been hanging over our heads since he was elected, and he hasn't shut up since. Mm-hmm. We're all sick of his face. We're all sick of his drama. We're sick of his lies. We're sick of his BS. We're sick of it all. Just tired of hearing his voice. And mm-hmm. He needs to go away. And I'm to the point where I don't care how he goes. I don't care if he chokes on a hamburger. I don't care if he, you know, doesn't wake up from sleeping. I don't care how he goes. I don't care if he goes to prison anymore. I just don't want to ever see or hear from him again. I guess I just want him to disappear, you know, just disappear. And I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, but it sure would make a lot of people happy in this country. It truly would, you know.
Isn't it odd that the people that get assassinated are like JFK, Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, Malcolm X? They get killed. In fact, I think our CIA was involved with Malcolm X and maybe the president. The thing is, what I see is if you're corrupt, you have a price. And if you don't have a price, then they don't know what to do with you, and they mm-hmm. kill you. You know, because they can't buy you. And mm-hmm. that's more threatening, I think, in a lot of ways. But I do mm-hmm. see, in terms of the Supreme Court, I know that Biden had tried to do something for student aid, you know, their debt. And the Supreme Court made a ruling against it a while back. And I saw that he's come out with another thing to give. I don't know mm-hmm. how he did it, but as mm-hmm. I understand what little bit I heard, is that the first one, it was something to help relieve or adjust the student debt. Mm-hmm. And I think they picked on the word or adjust somehow that was confusing or, you know what I mean? And I think mm-hmm. they used that as a way to do it. So I understand that how he's approaching it this time is to try to avoid any kind of language that's like that, and he's said 30, I don't know how many million more people he's come out with something to adjust the debt. And he did one before that were people that were in government or, you know, a certain group of people, and I wouldn't see any problem that getting reversed. This new one will help more people with student debt, which what I'm trying to say is we're trying to get around the Supreme Court. Have to get around the Supreme Court to do things that I think should be done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That, you know, the court that we have right now is, in my eyes, ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. They have taken gifts and money and, you know, property and, you know, and,
just a couple billion dollars to Jared Kushner. I mean, everything is so.
And they don't think that's, you know, no uproar about that. You know, the only thing they're worried about.
I don't know why. Why does that violate the act of whatever the act is? I think David knows what they call it. The, things that you're not supposed to do in terms of either relatives or money or from foreign countries. But I don't know why they don't have, if that was wrong, then we haven't seen that being addressed. They just talk about it. Like they haven't. There's some kind of law. I forget what it's called.
It needs to be looked into.
Yeah.
We have Elaine on the line. Hi, Elaine. How are you? You made it in, huh?
Hey. I caught the tail end of what you were saying, and I feel the same way. I am so sick and tired of the since 2016. Trump gets away with this. Trump gets away with that. Trump doesn't have to obey the law. Trump doesn't have to pay his fines. Trump doesn't have to pass any bills. Trump doesn't have any masks for us, and we're while people are dying of COVID. I mean, I wake up in the morning and I see Trump's. In my vision, it was nice to look at the ellipse today. At least it took my mind off of Trump for a few minutes.
It did for a few minutes, yes. But you know, like I said, it's overkill. The anxiety that people feel, you know, et cetera. It's anxiety and. You know, we shouldn't have to live like this. It's just plain wrong. And the legal, you know, I feel like the justice system is two-tiered. I feel, you know, but the other part is that Trump, in a way, does want to be locked up so he can be a martyr. That's what he really does want. I think deep down he wants to be handcuffed on TV again because, you know, remember in Georgia when he had that mugshot done, he made money off of that as well, selling t-shirts and all of that, you know, so in a way he wants that, you know, he wants that publicity, you know, look at me, you know, I'm the martyr, you know, they're shutting me up, you know, we're not letting me speak, my First Amendment rights are going down the toilet, you know, stuff like that, and no, it's just that the things that he says are not what normal people would talk about. If you're normal.
Since social media, we don't seem to be normal, period. Now, the only thing that used to give us a laugh was to stand there and wait for groceries, and inquiry minds would like to know, you know, why Sally Tally had an alien baby. No, that was about the most ridiculous thing that we had to cope with. Now, I don't care what social media you're on. I happen to be only on Facebook, but I get posts from all over. They are blatant lies. They're mean, and they're vicious, and they're never taken off. And I'm talking about probably five or six different media outlets. I'm Instagram, I'm talking TikTok, I'm talking Facebook, and a couple others that I don't even remember. Oh, this X business. I mean, yep. It's one lie after another. And I mean, these are so ridiculous. And when I happen to run into a post where people are talking out of their minds, I go to their site, and they're bombarded with this garbage. I mean, it's a wonder the smell doesn't come through the phone.
I know. It's crazy. It is really. So let's talk a little bit about when Americans lost faith in the news. Did you see that, David?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, you know, whose fault is that the media can't be trusted? You know, Donald Trump and the Republicans and his MAGA crew played a big part in it because, you know, what happened is that everything that the news reported, if they don't agree with it, oh, fake news, you know, and his illiterate, stupid followers would say, oh, yes, fake news, just because it's not coming from Fox News or because it's not, you know, in agreement with them, you know. So, I mean, a whole lot of blame can go around in terms of Fox News, in terms of right-wing media. And, you know, back in 2017, the Washington Post unveiled their slogan, Democracy Dies in Darkness. And, you know, that sounded like a Batman movie. As New York Times executive director Dan Bacquet said back then. But it was already clear that less than a month into the Trump administration, that destroying the credibility of the mainstream press was a White House priority, and that this would include an unabashed and almost gleeful policy of lying and denying, because, you know, they want access to the White House, they want access to power, and if they don't bend to Trump and succumb to his bullshit, then they don't get that access. So, you know, they play with them with kid gloves, like, oh, yes, Mr. President, kiss his ass and everything, even though they know that he's lying, instead of putting his feet to the fire, like they did Bill Clinton, like they did Reagan, like they did the two Bushes, you know? You know, he was, you know, in comparison, you know, like treated with kid gloves. And almost as soon as Donald Trump took office, he started calling news media the enemy of the American people.
Yeah.
And for the first time, the White House barred certain news organizations, including the New York Times, CNN, Politico, and Los Angeles Times, from briefings and suspended the credentials of CNN and their correspondent, Jim Acosta, who was regarded as a combative by the president. You know, and fake news became a standard White House response because they didn't agree with these journalists. So suspiciousness, for obvious reasons, built in the relationship between the press and the government officials, both parties have felt an interest in maintaining at least the appearance of cordiality. But reporters need access so that they can write their stories and politicians would have their stories to be friendly. You know, each party was willing to accept a degree of hypocrisy on the part of the other. You know, but with Trump, that all changed. Trump was rude. Cordiality is not a feature in his brand, and there's no cooperation with Trump world because everything is, you know, his way or no way, you know. And Trump waged war on the press, and he won, and he nearly won, and he persuaded millions of Americans not to believe anything they saw or heard in non-Trumpified media, including ultimately the results of the 2020 presidential elections. You know, it almost started a war, or it was like war torn down there when they attacked the Capitol, breaking down doors and windows, you know, and attacking Capitol Police, and Trump not calling out the National Guard to quell this violence he caused with his words, you know. So that's acting like a dictator, that's acting like, you know, he's king. And he should be punished for it, you know. And I do agree with you when you say, oh, he wants to be a martyr. You know, he's trying to use reverse psychology, and he's too stupid to use reverse psychology. Throw his ass in jail and make him suffer, because nobody is above the law. Nixon wasn't. Trump isn't. You know? And somebody, a crazy person, lunatic, who need psychiatric help or something happen to be near Trump. I hope, well, no, let me not say that. I just leave it to your imagination. You know, make him a marker, you know, cut off the head of the snake. Because, you know, even though he's a head, he's a figurehead. He's stupid. He can't be a dictator. He doesn't have the intelligence to be a dictator.
No.
But I just hope this bastard suffer before he dies, because he belongs in a federal penitentiary in general population where they know how to deal with him. You know, this man hung out with Epstein and, you know, went on his plane several times. And, you know, it is known that Epstein loved little girls. You know, I will see many pictures and many clips, you know, of him hanging on the Epstein and little girls around. You know, so I hope, you know, karma gets him real good and he suffers real badly. You know, I hope syphilis gets him and eats his brain away. I think that's what's happening now, you know, because the way he speaks, he can't put 3-4 sentences together. That's how bad this rotten apple is. And I hope karma deals with him accordingly.
Yeah, I hope so too, but I just don't know, you know. So we can go on with this, because back in 1976, even after Vietnam Watergate, 72% of the public said they trusted the news media. Today, the figure is 34%. Among Republicans, it's 14%. So if democracy dies in darkness, seemed a little alarmist in 2017, the storming of the Capitol on January 6, 2021, made it seem prescient. A democracy was at stake. You know, we need the press for our democracy to work. It's a belief as old as our democracy, hence the First Amendment. Without the free circulation of information and opinion, voters will be operating in the ignorance when they choose whom to vote for and what policies to support. It's bad. What if you can't trust the reporter? What if there's no such thing as the facts? Well, as Michael Schutzen pointed out in Discovering the News in 1978, the notion that good journalism is objective, that it's nonpartisan, it's unopinionated, emerged only around the start of the 20th century. So, you know, people got skeptical, you know, they had some objections, you know, maybe they did some, you know, checking and that sort of thing on facts and that. And so the whole idea of stable and reliable truth, you know, become a little muddy in the water. The standard of objectivity, as he puts it, was not the final expression of a belief in facts, but the assertion of a method designed for a world in which even facts could not be trusted. You know, and to me, you know, that is a sad, you know, we know that in the past, you know, in past years, the media could be trusted. At least I thought it could be trusted. That was their job. They were to just report the news, just the facts. And, you know, then we would be able to decide if we wanted to believe it or not, you know, and everything's kind of changed. I mean, I do have certain sources that I go to and I do believe, but, you know, I don't believe Fox. I don't really believe OAN. And I don't believe any of those right-wing pundits that are out there, you know, every day lying on the news, just lying every single day on their podcast. That is why the brains of these people are poisoned, because they don't know any better. And it's a sad, sad time in our country.
That's
very sad.
That got worse when they took away the Fairness Doctrine, and a lot of people don't even know the difference. The Fairness Doctrine, you didn't call something news just because they say they're news. They didn't fit a criteria, you know.
Exactly.
But when they take it away, people don't know how to assume that. So I don't know why we haven't, or that people in authority haven't tried to bring something like that back to differentiate between them.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being, Doris, is because too much money is being made. And, mm-hmm. you know, the Fair Trading Commission, the FTC, who, you know, overlord what's happening in the media, you know, maybe they get the palms greased with like $1 million here or $2 million there. And mm-hmm. Fox News is not free reign, you know. And where's the war mm-hmm. for Cronkite in today's media? Where's the Peter yep. Jennings? Where is the David Brinkley, Chet Huntley? You know, name them yep. from the past. Roger Mudd, mm. you know.
Right.
I mean, those days are so long gone. And with the mm-hmm. removal of the Fairness Doctrine in 1981 when Reagan came in, you know, it was just free reign,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, left-wing media or the mainstream media, because, you know, in comparison, when you compare, you know, money, the money is that right-wing media have tons of money flowing mm-hmm. in, you know, from
mm-hmm.
rich people, super wealthy people, like
mm-hmm.
Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch and whoever else, you know, and they want
mm-hmm.
to tell the news, the quote-unquote news, in their version of how, the you know, because news shape, you know, how society thinks. And with so much uneducated people or lack of educated people there, out there, with, that have critical thinking, is that they're
mm-hmm.
just sucking everything. Like, oh, yes, you know, is that they're feeding into the bullshit. And in the old
mm-hmm.
days, you could get your news, and
mm-hmm.
it wasn't, like, for entertainment purposes, you know, all flashy.
Mm-hmm.
It was just news, and you decipher, so, okay, this is true, this is not true. I don't believe this,
yeah.
but let me go to another source. You know, and so people are so dumb, you know, that they stick to one or a few media outlets who have been proven time and time again to be wrong, to be liars. And why do you think
mm-hmm.
Fox News is getting sued by the Dominion voting place, the voting machine
mm-hmm.
place? Because they lied, you know?
And, right.
and if people were two ions to rub together or two brain cells to rub together, they figure
mm-hmm.
out that Fox News is garbage, is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd rather, you know, hear what they want to hear because people on Fox News tell them what they want to hear, so it makes them feel better. And this is
mm-hmm.
what destroying the country.
Well, I understand
yeah.
they're being sued by another electrical or, you know, election machine company
mm-hmm.
that's going to sue for even more. I hope that will be, you know, processed and get in the news because they've already been shown when you have $750 million fine, that means something. And that's just
mm-hmm.
that one case. That's just that
mm-hmm.
one case. Another thing that makes me think about the media or, I don't know, more than the media, when Epstein got put in prison, you know, he supposedly attempted suicide. Well, I do know this, that if you attempt suicide, you've got extra guards up. And
yep.
they didn't do it. Well, what, they weren't there, and I haven't heard anything of a significant follow-up. How the hell was it that the guards were sleeping or whatever? Because I would suspect that you'd rather him kill himself if he's going to possibly tell the truth. And he wasn't being watched even after he supposedly attempted suicide the first time, and I still think there's something really fishy about that. Because he was able to do it, and nobody was watching him, and I haven't heard a good explanation for that. I think, and that
mm-hmm.
was when Trump was president.
I don't think you ever will. I don't think you ever will, and I don't think he committed suicide. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That he did.
Too much influential people are involved, you know, and too much secrets to be let out. If that Epstein list is
yeah.
broadcast to the world, you know. Yeah, and so they had to get rid of Epstein. You know, who knows
yeah.
if Epstein is on some island shilling with a new identity, a new face, whatever. And who gets on the brunt
mm-hmm.
of the burden now is Ghislaine Maxwell, who, you know,
mm-hmm.
just threatened
mm-hmm.
To release the Epstein list. And, you know, when she did a serious interview for 60 minutes, you can say she had two black eyes. So is that a warning shot to her that if she do indeed, you know, let the list go out, then, you know, she'd be Epstein, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be suicided.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about money and influence and power. And once you threaten that power, then you have to go, mm-hmm. you know. Look at, for example, Bernie Madoff. He stole
yeah.
billions of dollars
yeah.
from rich people. In entertainment, in music, in news, in all types of things, you know, and to live a lavish lifestyle. And
yeah,
when
yeah.
to, it was time to cash receipts and everything, they threw the book at him, and he spent the rest of his life in prison with no chance of
yeah.
parole. You know, so, yeah. you know, when Enron happened, it didn't affect, you know, it didn't affect multi-billionaires or millionaires. It affected the regular person. So why
mm-hmm.
the small fry went to prison and the big shots who were in charge of Enron didn't get lengthy prison sentences? It's only
mm-hmm.
when it affected the rich people, that's when, you know, the shit hit the fan and certain
yep.
people got on. You know, but when it
yep.
is regular folks, then, oh, you know, slap on the wrist here and, you know, a little jail time, maybe 2 months or 3 months, even a year,
mm-hmm.
and you go out scot-free. And
mm-hmm.
people left to suffer. What about a bailout for middle-class Americans or working Americans when Enron did what they did? You know, it's just
mm-hmm.
all ridiculousness. You know, there's
mm-hmm.
there is a two-tier justice system. And one of
yes,
these days, it's going to be a boiling point where people not going to take it anymore and hit the streets. And unfortunately, blood will flow because people can take so much, you know, so much and not more. And I'm not calling
mm-hmm.
for people to go out the streets and, you know, kill each other. But, you know, they're human.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, people need to be treated with respect. And,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, with dignity. And
mm-hmm.
props to Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, who raised the minimum wage from whatever it was in California to $20 an hour.
Right.
That was a good move on his part, you know.
Yep.
California is expensive.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Anyway, let's get the next caller in. The
mm-hmm.
number is 515-605-9802. Say first name, where you're calling in from. And you'll have a good time here tonight. Welcome, Susie from Michigan. Hello, Susie. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Well, I was watching Rachel Maddow tonight, and she dropped a big
mm-hmm.
bomb.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, did you see that? The guy that is doing the bond, backing the bond, he was
mm-hmm.
investigated by Obama way back when. He is a loan shark. I mean, a real loan shark. He would charge, you know, illegal fees on loans, interest rates on cars and stuff, and then go repossess them and stuff, including on military personnel. And then there was one guy who owned the Harlem Soul Food restaurant. He charged
mm-hmm.
268% interest. And then if you paid off the loan, found it from somewhere else, he would penalize you with 30% more. This guy was worse than a mob boss, you know, break your legs kind of thing. He'd have people
mm-hmm.
call you and say it's from your mother and then it find out where you're at, then repossess
right.
the cars.
Right.
He was horrible. And he put up the money for Trump's hotel in D.C., and even though it lost $90 million, he got a $190 million loan from this guy. His name, you know, his name is Don Henke. He's Henke,
uh-huh.
all right. And
yeah.
he, you know, who else got loans from him? Kushner
mm-hmm.
got tens of millions of loans. And they
mm-hmm.
said the loans now for Trump before this one, his bond, was over $400 million from this guy. And now he is going to back that bond in Washington. Well, guess what? The Attorney General for New York is opening up an investigation
mm-hmm.
because that investigation by Obama was dismissed by Trump.
Oh,
so
mm-hmm.
the guy owes him, right? He canceled
all
the investigation. So. Now, the New York Attorney General is opening it up again. So hopefully
mm-hmm.
the you-know-what will hit the fan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he promised him probably, I'll make you Secretary of the Treasury like that other moron that he did, you know? And he owes him bigly. No kidding. So I heard this today. I just couldn't believe it. This is like something out of a gangster movie.
Well, wasn't it?
The corruption is so big.
Go ahead. Yeah.
The corruption is so vile that people, you know, turning and looking for third-party candidates, that Robert Kennedy Jr. and that Green Party woman, what's her name?
Jill Stein.
There
yeah.
you go, you know. And, you know, for the life of me, I keep telling people who said they're going to go for third party or Green Party, that's a waste of vote. You may as well vote for Trump or stay home and not vote, period, because Jill Stein is just as corrupt and vile and cruel, you know, as Donald Trump. And Robert F. Kennedy.
I know, but I'm glad this is getting out there and to show how corrupt he is and what he's doing to the little people, military, and you name it, besides being an idiot from, you know, hell and saying that military people are suckers, you know, for dying for our country and all that stuff. It's got to get out
horrible.
There. People have to know this crap.
Yeah.
And what people have to know as well, Susan, is that, you know, not a single House Republican voted for the Inflation Reduction Act that capped insulin at $35 a month. But now, with the new budget coming in, you know, the Republicans want to repeal it outright and force seniors to pay up to $400 a month like they used to. So, you know, this is a new level of
Republicans.
Yeah, when
it's also $40 everywhere else in the world. Why? In Europe, in Canada, in Mexico, it's $40 a vial. And it's $400 to $500 here. No reason. No reason at all, except greed. And their Congress is bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical and the big mega businesses. You know, it's
many
disgusting.
Of them. AOC isn't, and Jamal Bowman isn't, and Summer Lee isn't, and the Squad isn't. But they don't take that kind of money. And in fact, you probably know this. The AIPAC and associated lobbies that don't show you that it's associated with AIPAC are putting up primary candidates to run against these progressive Democrats because they want to get rid of them. And I saw that there's $100 million to get rid of the Squad, Jamal Bowman, Summer Lee, and a couple other people. And basically, those are the people that I like and I think are doing the things that should be done. So I think the tail is waving the dog in this country in that regard to that lobby.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it's so disgusting how much corruption is going on out in the open now. I mean, ridiculously. I've never heard this bad before in my life.
As bad as that sounds, I am glad that they're finding this out. I really am.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's got to be. I mean, like I said, this has got to be out in the open, and everybody needs to know about it, you know, so you can see who the hell you're voting for and what you're voting for, you know. It's all about the rich and screw the little man that's paying all the taxes to make them rich.
Yeah.
Exactly. And another sad thing that just came up is that RFK Ballot Access Consultant promotes strategies throughout the election to Trump. So the New York the New York based anti-vaccine mandate activist presented a local group of defeating a mutual enemy in Biden, you know, and they're working for RFK Jr. To get him on the ballot in New York and want Republicans to unite behind Kennedy and defeat Biden in the general election. And according to Rita Palmer, she said, the Kennedy voter and the Trump voter are mutual enemies, Biden. So the political presentation to a local Hudson Valley group that she was hired by the Kennedy campaign as New York State Director about 3 weeks ago and twice voted for former President Trump. So obviously RFK Jr. is a plant. You know, and then she further went on to say that, quote, I'm going to vote for Bobby, however, if I wake up on November 6th and Trump wins, I'm not going to be overly upset. But if Biden wins, we're all going to be terribly upset, end quote. What the fuck? What is Kennedy doing, man?
They're nuts.
This is a Kennedy that's doing this. So in other words, his plan is either
his plan might even be to run as vice president to Trump. Don't ever forget about that. Don't ever forget about that. I don't trust Bobby. I trust RFK Jr. as far as I can throw him. He is when I saw his sister a couple of weeks ago being interviewed, she was demure, like she was almost ashamed. It was like a feeling like, you know, like she was squirming, you know, it's my brother, but you know what I mean? Type of thing.
Yep.
But the family is so against this. And why is it all of a sudden that they're aligning themselves with Trump? What kind of doesn't make any sense.
The whole family came out and, you know, they went to Biden's Easter hunt and said they don't want our cousin, our brother to be elected. Yeah. He's nuts.
No.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, Glenn, is that he's polling 12% in New York and 17% in Michigan, Bobby Kennedy is, and in the Midwest especially.
That.
He's polling in the high team numbers. You know, some places even in the 20s. You know, and, you know, New York is worth 28 electoral college votes. So if he can, like, you know, put a damper in New York, that would try to stop Biden from getting to his 270 mark that he needs. And no candidate wins electoral college votes. You know, each state delegation in Congress votes in the next president. So, you know, God forbid there is a tie because of Bobby Kennedy. It goes to the House. You know, and we all know the House is Republican by a very slim majority, and they'll just elect Trump, you know, and Bobby Kennedy would act as the spoiler. And so the Kennedy campaign distances himself from...
What's Kennedy's endgame? Is he going to give his delegates to Trump?
I don't know.
No, what he's hoping is that, you know, if he plays spoiler and give Trump the presidency, then he'll be CDC director. And we all know that is an oxymoron because, you know, Bobby Kennedy is anti-vax. So how can he be the director of the CDC? You know,
if that's what his wish is, Trump would probably give it to him.
Probably would.
No, not probably. He has promised last year that if Bobby Kennedy, you know, drops out of the race, he'll give him CDC director. He said it in his own words from that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the end game, really.
Yeah.
You know?
He went on also to say, if Republicans accept that New York, Maryland, Illinois, California, New Jersey, Connecticut, most of the Northeast is going to go blue, why wouldn't we put our vote to Bobby and at least get rid of Biden and get those 28 votes in New York, Palma said. Give those electoral votes to Bobby rather than to Biden, thereby reducing Biden's 270.
What's her name?
Wishful thinking.
Her name is, her last name
Rita.
Is Palma. Her last name is Palma, P-A-L-M-A. Yeah, she is a consultant. She's a local activist working as a on the campaign, and she is Rita Palma. Rita Palma.
Rita Palma. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen to me. If no candidate win 270 electoral college votes and each state delegation in Congress votes to elect the next president, like I said earlier, that, you know, it's a very slim majority are Republicans. So the last contingent election was in 1836, Samuel Tilden, Democrat, versus Rutherford B. Hayes. I don't know if you know the history of that campaign, where Tilden had, you know, he was more popular. He got more popular votes than Rutherford B. Hayes. Everybody know that Rutherford B. Hayes was really corrupt and everything. It's very believed that the contingent election today would result in a victory for Trump, you know, because Republicans gave it to Rutherford B. Hayes because they control Congress. Or not Congress, but the House. So, you know, the Kennedy campaign distanced himself from Palmer, and her remarks in a statement to Politico. Quote, Rita Palmer is a ballot access consultant responsible for scheduling volunteer shifts for our upcoming signature collection drive in Empire State. She is not involved in electoral strategy nationally or in New York. And this is according to Stephanie Spear, campaign spokesperson. And Ms. Spear went on to say, quote, this is not a campaign event. Palmer was speaking in a private citizen, as a private citizen, and her statement is no way reflect the strategy of the Canada campaign, which is to win the White House with votes from former President Trump and Biden supporters alike. Yeah, so they plant the seed in there, and they're saying, oh, no, we didn't put her up to date, you know. So Spear said Palmer was never a staffer with the campaign, only in a consultant, contradicting Palmer's remarks. So, you know, which is it? Does she work for the campaign in that capacity or just as a consultant? You get what I'm saying?
Well, you know? If you would have heard the speech, you would have thought it was a campaign speech, because when she started out, she said, is anyone in this room going to vote for Biden? That's what she said right in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Then she went on with her spiel. And she said, oh, I'm glad, because I hope none of you vote for Biden. So that's why it was a campaign speech. You know, it was a campaign speech. I'm sorry. It was.
Yeah.
You know what gets me? This wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for the Supreme Court that changed the law that said corporations are people, too, and they're dumping billions of dollars to buy off our government. You know, it's all about the rich control. It's worse than the 1920s and the robber barons and the railroad guys and screw the little people, and they have child labor. They want to, she even talked about the child labor laws that they don't want. Mm-hmm. They want to get rid of the 14, 15-year-old work permits.
No, they don't want the parents to have to sign. They don't want the parents to have to sign for it. Yeah.
I mean, it's what's happening in our government is ridiculous. It's all bought and paid for. You know, and then they're talking about the polls. Have you ever been called? I haven't been called. Not once.
Never. Never.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So who the hell is polling? I think it's all bullshit, tell you the truth, just to get people riled up and, everybody's voting for this guy. Maybe he's good, you know, kind of bullshit. You know, when it's
not how they are. He's going off his name, actually, Kennedy. When you think Kennedy, you think, you know, RFK, JFK, Ted Kennedy.
He can't even talk. His voice is so annoying. He, from snorting all that coke and crap, he ruined his voice. He fried his brain. He doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the one that his wife committed suicide, or one of his wives?
Oh, no.
I don't know.
You know, actually, what happened when he got divorced, he got married, his second marriage was to the movie star, the actress, I can't remember her name though, Cheryl Hines.
I think
his first wife, I have to look that up, his first wife, I'm not sure if it's committed suicide or drug overdose, I don't know, I have to look it up and everything, but let's just say that Kennedy is not a remedy. He's no Jack Kennedy. He's no Bobby Kennedy. He's no Ted Kennedy. He should sit his ass down and do what he does best, environmental law. He's good at that. So, you know, stay in the lane, Bobby Kennedy. So the insurrectionists attacked police again. How? So the general insurrectionist inmates, his name is Jack Lang, announced that 78 others and him, the January 6th defendants, have just filed a class action lawsuit against 21 Capitol police officers for millions of dollars for injury he claimed the police caused them by using excessive force. So, Lori, starting with Lori, what do you think about that?
Let me see here. The lawsuit against the ones that broke into the building, or the police officers that were protecting the building?
Okay, generous. 78 defendants led by Jake Lang. He was one of the defendants. They're filed a class action lawsuit against 21 Capitol police officers for millions of dollars for injuries he claimed the police caused them by using excessive force. Do you think it was successful?
No, I don't think that's much of a kid. If you were watching, they had flagpoles. What is that when they spray it? They sprayed stuff in their eyes.
Bear spray.
Yeah, that's bad stuff.
They stuck them, the flagpoles, the sticks, they took the shields away from the cops. It was awful.
And it says that he claims that the police caused them by using excessive force. The police used excessive force? I don't think so. It looked like they were defending themselves in my eyes.
Exactly.
And who was trespassing? Not the cops.
Yeah, no.
They were going in there full barrel to destroy the Capitol, and cops were defending the Capitol. They had no business there. If they didn't want to have force against them, they shouldn't have been there.
Right. Yeah. That wasn't open for public.
Give me a break.
They were tourists in the Capitol. Now, over the weekend, they were doing some interviews in the Capitol, and they had tourists in the background. They had
a
leader that was taking through, it looked like, anywhere from 15 to 25 people that were standing in line, listening very carefully, were behind ropes. They weren't on top of everything. And it looked like the leader or the tour guide was talking to them, and then they would move on. That, January 6th, was an insurrection. They broke the doors down. They broke the windows down. They tried to get into where they were going to tally the votes. Eventually, they got into that room. They rifled through every legislator's drawer. They were looking at paper, folding them up and putting them in their pockets. What, I can't believe my lying eyes? The rest of the country can't believe their lying eyes?
I know.
You know, they're in jail right now, or prison. Why are they given these computers and what are they, in Club Med prison?
I don't know where they are.
According to MTG, they're prisoners of war, so.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
They keep showing the videos on
the news all the time, and it's always the same crap. They're beating the crap out of the poor cops and breaking in with all kinds of things, breaking windows and all that. And then they shit in the main thing there.
Lobby.
I mean, they were awful. They destroyed.
This bear spray that they were spraying was supposed to have bear urine in it, which could blind a person.
Yep,
exactly. So these people actually think that the justice system will be lenient towards them and, reward them for their bad behavior. I just don't understand. But the thing is, I'm afraid that, Mitch McConnell did such a good job in packing the courts with conservative judges on lower courts, that some of these judges who are, have little to no experience, or they're so partisan and Christian, that they may start to be, I mean, talking to lower courts now, then they may be sympathetic towards the General Six rioters, and ruling their favor. I was seeing what happened
in
the Supreme Court.
Well, they put in birds of a feather is what they did. They put in judges that think just as wacko as they do. Just because they're a judge and they've got the mallet in their hand doesn't mean that they're going to be good and they're going to be honest.
Nope.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They wore black robes. They wore white robes.
I'm saying that they're tired of you imitating me. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, that, they may use the Christianity or their partisan, thinking and giving these generous six writers who are suing the benefit of the doubt and reward them with millions of dollars, you know? This is where we're reaching this country, where, you know, bad behavior is rewarded and stupidity is praised and lauded and education.
Yeah.
And if, you know, you're a person who speaks two or three different languages, you're looked down upon. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, this country is something else. But,
you know the
former congresswoman, Liz Cheney. Yeah, go ahead.
The one police officer that had the heart attack, he committed suicide afterwards. That's how traumatic it all was to him.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And these people think that the police officers, a lot of them are still suffering from the trauma from that day. They were not prepared for that. And they were not prepared for that.
There were five died, and I've never heard what the others died from. They don't talk about it, but at least one died from suicide. But they've never said, outside of the one guy that died a couple days later. He wasn't, I don't think he was a police officer, though. But I have never gotten information on why these other ones died. They weren't killed during that time. I've never figured out why they don't talk about that.
Yeah, I don't know. You know,
welcome to Naj from Atlanta, Georgia. Hello, Naj. What's cooking tonight?
Hi, Naj.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Yeah, I've been listening to y'all last 20 minutes, man. Good conversation. Just something I wanted to add. Look, y'all shouldn't be mad at RFK, man. Robert Kennedy, let him run. Encourage him to run. Encourage all the people around him to run, to support him and everything else. I think mainstream media is getting this totally wrong. Let's think about who he is. Y'all talked about, you know, the problems he's had in his life and all that stuff. But let's get to who he actually is. For one, he comes out in support of these people from January 6th. Which group is going to support that? Well, that's going to be Trump voters who are disaffected and decide to vote for him instead of voting for Trump. He's anti-vax. Which group is a huge population that has an anti-vax issue? That would be Trump supporters. These are not Biden voters. This is a libertarian candidate who is going to take votes from Trump. And the mainstream media is presenting him. This is kind of like, I can't remember the young lady's name. She was a former service member who tried to run in the last presidential election. And she was so right-wing and Republican that everybody kind of saw her like, she's not – no, not Gifford. What was her name? She's from Hawaii. She's part of some weird religious extremist group.
Tulsi Gabbard.
You know what? Tulsi Gabbard. There we go. So it's similar to that Tulsi Gabbard thing where they were trying to say Gabbard was going to take votes from Democrats. It was like, no. If anything, she's going to get right-leaning, libertarian view having Republicans, and that's typically going to be your average Trump supporter. So if this dude runs, I have no idea how they came up with this plan that this hurts Biden. Think about every issue that Robert Kennedy has spoken on, and think about which group that actually appeals to. It's not Joe Biden voters or Democrats. At all.
Mm-hmm. Naj, I have an argument for you. There are Reagan Democrats still from the 1950s, 1960s, who hasn't voted in an election since 1980 and 84 because they feel the Democratic Party has left, you know, has sold a soul and everything, you know. So do you think, you know, those block of voters are big enough to cause a dent with Biden for them to vote for Kennedy?
No, I don't think that group of voters actually exists. I think those people who say the Democratic Party left them have been voting Republican every cycle and held their nose and voted for Trump anyway the last two election cycles. So I see more of the same as far as that group is concerned. Now, I do disagree with the Biden administration with the idea that they can split the suburban vote. Like, if they get out there and reach the centrist, you know, that'll really hurt Trump. I disagree with that premise, but, yeah, I don't think that voting bloc exists. You know, that we're a long way away from Ronald Reagan and his terrible policies that wrecked this country, dealing with things that we're still dealing with now, like you guys are talking about. The whole idea of an oligarchy, which was kind of put on steroids by, you know, the Reagan administration and then in the UK You know, you had that woman, and I won't say her name, but y'all know who I'm talking about, who did similar things over there where they were privatizing public utilities, which the British people never got back, and now they're trying to take their health care from them. And, you know, similar thing here, dealing with old union-breaking ray gun.
Yeah,
that might be a way to think about it, too.
Nash, I think you're right. Because a libertarian usually 99-100% votes Republican.
And that
thing is so big because some of these people who have kind of went down that rabbit hole online of Facebook and YouTube, and all of a sudden they're all, you know, they understand viruses better than the World Health Organization, Fauci, and everybody else. Like, those are the people they're appealing to. That, like, it's think about it. It's so toxic on that side of the aisle that Trump can't even brag about his biggest accomplishment, which would be Operation Warp Speed. He can't brag about it because he knows his supporters don't like it.
Yeah, that's true, too. You do have a point, Nash. I like that.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm not so sure about this RFK spoiler thing. Unless it's spoiling for the other side.
Right. But do you think Trump would consider him to be a running mate or no?
Oh, Trump's going to call him a name and talk about the way he talks or something vulgar. Like, come on, y'all. We've seen this movie 100 times. He's the same way he did Lindsey Graham today, where he publicly embarrassed Lindsey after all the twisting and turning Lindsey had to do to be a good party man and support the nominee no matter what, Trump still threw him under the bus. So as far as RFK is concerned, if he sees any poll that tells him something he doesn't like, then he's going to go on the attack on RFK and talk about how the man's voice is.
You're right about that. He's good at attacking people. That is for sure. Absolutely.
So a question for everybody. Who do you think Trump would choose as a running mate?
Donald Duck. There's been so many names.
Well,
Ilian,
why
you
laugh?
I have no idea. You know what? We're not going to worry about it because Trump's not going to win. I'm going to have a positive attitude. I'm not going to worry about Trump's running mate because he's not going to make it.
He may have been jailed before, hopefully.
Not with us out here making sure that people know the real facts. The people knowing that we're saying it like it is. We're not we're not hiding and cowering in a corner anymore.
No.
Trump is not going to win.
The fact that abortions is on a lot of states' issues is not good for Trump.
That's why he's backing down some. I'll leave it up to the states, he said today.
Well, he's between a rock and a hard place, that's why.
For sure. All the news guys came out and said it's because he's afraid and the Republican Party is on his butt to change it. Because they know they're going to lose it. The women are going to win it for us, not for that idiot.
I think it was in 2011, Trump said that a woman has a right and a choice. And they have played that two or three times. And then in 2016, Trump changed his mind. But they keep reminding the women, this man can't be trusted.
Right. You get the evangelicals this way. That's a big chunk.
Well, there's some evangelical women that I'm sure... when they are in the privacy of their voting booth, will come home and lie to their husband.
I hope. Yeah, I hope so. But, you know, when I listened to him this morning, I saw a clip of him talking, and he did say, well, some of them even have abortions after 9 months. I'm like,
he really knows biology really well, doesn't he?
I start laughing. I'm like, are you serious? he just said that after 9 months? That's called giving birth.
Whoopi Goldberg caught that one, and she said, well, I'd like to know how you can abort the baby when you've got it in your hand and you're holding it.
He thinks it's an elephant. You know, they last longer, you know? No, it's not an elephant.
But,
it's a person,
but
9 months.
That's the difficulty of a cult, though. When you have a cult personality and people having cult-like tendencies in their support, that means he doesn't have to be tied to any issue. So next week he could come out and say he's completely against whatever he was so stridently for the week before. And they'll act like there was no interruption. So you asked who his VP could be. I went to the gambling sites and looked at who has the best odds. So we've got Ron DeSantis at plus 3,300, worst odds. Kerry Lake, 2,500. Worst odds, and the closest they have right now are Stefanik from New York, Elise Stefanik.
Oh, Elise Stefanik. Elise Stefanik.
Stefanik. Sorry about that. Yeah, Stefanik, they got her at plus 400, so she has the best odds right now. And then Gnome out of the Dakotas at plus 500.
Yeah.
So that's what they got on the gambling sites. I don't know.
Well, that's just fair.
I can't see him picking a running mate that would talk. Now, take a look at Pence's personality. He was very quiet, very soft-spoken, and he had to tap Trumpy on the shoulders and say, may I please speak? So far, all the women that would love to be vice president are mouthy, and I don't think he would choose a mouthy bitch.
No,
that way.
Hard to know.
No, he'll definitely call him a nasty woman.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody heard the interview we had with Alex. He's an LGBTQ leader and everything from Michigan, and he's from Generation Z. And they're well aware of their powers and want to have an impact on a wide range of issues. We spoke about, gay rights. We spoke about immigration rights. We spoke about a whole lot of things. And this Generation Z is from 18 to 29 age group, and are bringing unique concerns and experiences to the electorate in 2024. Mm-hmm. So in the midterm elections of 2022, there were the first time that Generation Z made up the majority of the ages in the electorate and the age group circle and other defined as young voters. You know, and in just a few years, Generation Z will make up all of that age group. So millennials, ages 26 to 41, make up the remainder of the 18 to 29-year-old cohorts. They made up 26% of the electorate in 2022. While divisions by generations can be partially arbitrary groupings, and there are, important differences among members of the same generation, they provide opportunities to consider unique environments in which youth of different ages at different times become active in democracy. So I feel like, Lori, that Generation Z and millennials and women, those three voting blocks especially, will bring Biden over the top. And I feel this election is not going to be close, and that people, predicting that, Trump may win again. No, I feel that he's going to be blown out of the water, and Republicans are going to lose more House seats. Look how much Republicans resigning from Congress, saying that they're not going to run again. Because what has Republicans in the past 2 years put forward to move America forward? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They've attacked women's reproductive rights, that have done nothing on immigration, that have done nothing in 60 years about gun control. They want to take away people's Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. So only a backwoods country bumpkin from Kentucky or wherever will vote Republican because I don't know any better, And among the other major
coalition, you're right.
Go ahead.
The Trump coalition is static. It's not growing. It is what it is. But the problem is there's limitations to that in a national election. And then you got to ask yourself this. How many of those strident, really, really strong Trump supporters are going to be disenfranchised by their own party, who for 4 years has been telling them that everything is rigged and your vote doesn't matter? How many of them stay home when they get out there and they see the line is long? How many of them go back to work?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Hmm. Well, you know, I think that we need to start talking more about mail-in voting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what state, because mail-in voting, not even so much mail-in voting. You can just drop your ballot off, you know, at your city hall, at your council, or at your township. You know, and it's safe. It's there. You don't have any stress. You don't have to stand in line. You don't have to look at people. You don't have to ask. You know, you don't have to feel intimidated or anything like that. All you do is just put it in the mail. Here in Michigan, everybody gets an absentee ballot. Everybody. And you, all you have to do is so
request.
Simple.
Sorry, a request. Yeah.
No, you don't have
to. Once you say you want it permanent, you get it all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
You just have to
but
do
I'm
it
just,
once.
Right. But if you spent 4 years telling people that mail-in voting was fraudulent and terrible, how many of them are going to use it?
Well, Trump always Trump always did it that way.
Oh, of course he did. But I'm talking about his supporters. Like, just get into the mind of a Trump supporter. If in your mind mail-in voting is bad and equals fraud, and you don't want to do that, but then you get there and you see the long line. And how easy is it to convince yourself that, well, this is rigged anyway, I'm not going to vote, I'm just going to go home and support Mr. Trump. Like, you can see how this strategy is going to bite him in the ass. Of
I'm
going to
go home and crack a beer.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad they don't know how to count the votes.
One last thing about Gen Z. Gen Z gets a lot of their information, as we know, off of the media, of social media. I don't think they're on Facebook. I really don't. Facebook is geared for older, you know, couple generations past them. I think they get most of theirs from TikTok. They have different. They share information between them. And believe me, talking to Alex last night, he was very candid. And he said, because he goes to MSU, Michigan State University, and I did ask him, I said, what about, how do they feel, you know, on campus? What are they, do they talk about, you know, who they're going to vote for and why they feel that their vote, you know, are their rights being attacked? Of course. And the first thing they talk about is women's rights. You know, they're pro-choice, number one. Gun control is another big one. You know, they all want gun control, all of them. And, of course, the LGBTQ rights, they want that as well. And they're worried about climate change. And guess who? Guess who's trying to do things about all of that? That's the Democrats.
Yeah.
And they're quiet about it. And believe me, they are going to vote Democrat. They are. And
those kids went through the school shooter drills as kids.
Exactly.
So, guns are an important topic for them. And these kids, they get on TikTok and they find out something, but then they have the ability to research what they found on TikTok to see if it's true or not. And then they can kind of go forward. I want to say something that's going to sound mean, but I want to talk about the generational divide. Remember, those kids went to school and they had a media center with somebody who was qualified and trained to teach them. People of our age and above went to school. We had a librarian. We didn't have – we barely had
–
the internet was just coming on at the time.
So
when we see Gen X and the boomers above, when they first got on the internet, they didn't know how to research things. That's why you got your auntie and your uncle sending you Facebook articles about they seen a giant somewhere. They don't know what's true and what's not, while the younger generation assumes everything on the internet is a lie and must be researched to make sure, you know, before you jump out and say something that something is true.
Yep.
So, you know, that's another thing, and that's a big part of the reason why this Trump phenomenon even exists, because you had so many voters who were of a certain age who got in front of their computer. And if he's telling five lies a second and not being corrected in real time, before you know it, those lies get through and people start to believe those things. So that generational divide is huge in this country.
No. And, you know, if they all, are motivated enough, and that's why I also feel that the Biden campaign needs to reach these young voters. You know, I know that Kamala Harris has been going on different campuses. She's been talking about pro-choice and abortion rights and all of that. She's been doing that. But they need to have maybe some, put out some ads, you know, maybe to target, you know, the millennials and Gen Z. You know, that might be a good thing. You know, put those ads on TikTok and they will spread them. You know, they will spread them. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they agree with the ads. You know, look at Taylor Swift. I mean, look what she was able to do. You know, she didn't say who to go out and vote for. She just said, get registered to vote. That's all she did.
Mm-hmm.
And how many millions got registered to vote? They did.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
25 million in 24 hours last time when she was on tour, you know?
Yeah.
And that had Republicans' knickers in a twist because they said, oh, how dare she? She's a singer. She should stick to what she knows. You know, what's his face? Kid Rock. He's a singer, though. He should stick to what he knows, which, you know, is shit at singing.
Oh.
You know, he's insane and it's shit at music. But why can't Taylor Swift make her plea? But Kid Rock and Ted Nugent.
Because Republicans can count, David, because Republicans can count. Kid Rock plays ballrooms and small venues. Taylor Swift can do a stadium in a city. She can do two nights. She can do three, four nights in a row in a big city with a stadium. They understand the power that that little young woman has, some power and influence. And when it comes to abortion rights and all those young young women who love her and listen to her, that's going to be a problem for them.
It's a big problem. Go ahead, David.
I don't know. The thing is, why Republicans hate successful women? Why are threatened by Taylor Swift? Why? You know?
Yeah.
And so much women, so much white women still want to vote Republican. According to the latest polls, 52% are white women. Even though the reproductive rights was being threatened, they're still claiming that they will vote for Trump. I mean, I don't get that logic of thinking.
There is no lack.
Well, David, in defense of white women, like we got to think about how people are socialized and how they best get along in their social networks. So if you're a white woman in a red state and most of your friend group are Republicans and super Trump fans and all of that, you can either be the outcast who, she's a Democrat, and or you can go along to get along, which is what I think we kind of got to say this plainly, which is what a lot of white Republican women have done for the last few election cycles. Because, like, I mean, just think about their own lives and who they interact with and how they have to get, you know, do what they have to do. If you're a waitress in a red state, are you going to be the waitress who's the Democrat in there? Or are you going to walk to that table and tell them how you can't wait to vote for Mr. Trump and let it? You see what I'm saying? Like, it's a socialization to it too for some of those white women. So I don't want to completely knock them for being oblivious to, you know, what's in front of them. There's some thinking there. I don't agree with it, but there's some thinking there.
But do they?
Well, I think they still can vote Democratic in the booth or in the mail because nobody's going to know how you vote.
Yeah.
Did because of the abortion rights. Even the churches.
Yeah, but we saw in 2016 where they had the option of voting and breaking the glass ceiling and getting a white woman in that office, they still chose to go the other way. So, you know, that's one part of the Democratic coalition that is the most
No. The Electoral College is the one that took the election away from Hillary. I am not going to give up on saying that.
Yeah, 3 million more votes.
The women voted for Hillary, and a lot of Republican women voted for Hillary. That damn Electoral College has got to go.
It's got to go. It's got to be popular votes. It does.
Yeah, but if we look at the exit polls, I think in 2016, it was 52% of white women. That was the only demographic of women that went that far for Trump. So, I mean, that just has to be called out.
Well, how she got 3 million more votes, so I have to look at who voted for that. You know, there were 3 million more votes that she got. But
and when you come out of the voting booth, you're going to tell the guy the truth so he can go and tell your husband, right? I don't think so.
Or put you on the camera, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to lie through your teeth. You lied to him when you went to vote. You did your duty and you voted Democrat, and you came out, and some guy said to you, how did you vote? And, of course, you said, Mr. Trump.
I hear you got to live with those guys
that they picked out.
Yeah, but we've been doing exit polling for a long time, and I think this is something that we can get pretty close to as accurate as possible. Of course, it's not going to be 100, but, I mean, these are
–
you know, this is an issue we have to solve. Like I said, though, the abortion rights issue does kind of change things as far as that's concerned, but there is still a worry there.
Well, if they put him in jail,
we won't have to worry about this, right?
No.
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah, because, you know, somebody can still run from prison and win.
Y'all going to make me talk about marriage bans, y'all say that.
I've had enough
of waiting on Mueller. I had enough of waiting on Merrick Garland. My plan is to win at the ballot box, man. I'm not trusting those folks to get the job done because they're so scared of looking like something is biased or that they're putting their thumb on the scale that they're not acting in the way that they should when this man is a criminal. So I'm not trusting them, man. I don't think Mueller's coming. I don't think Merrick Garland is coming. I think you got to beat him at the ballot box.
Yeah.
So Naj and Lori, question. Do you think that Democrats can win Florida? And do you think that, you know, Democrats can win Georgia again?
Maybe Georgia. Florida. Well, you know what? Florida, I think they're he just okayed a 6-week abortion ban.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible. The women in Florida are very angry. I really believe
Well, they're going to have a ballot initiative. They're going to have a ballot initiative in addition. And
there's
a good chance of winning. All the other ones that have a state one have won, whether they're red or blue. So we shall see. You know, sometimes miracles happen. And I really do believe that, you know, this right to choose, you know, these abortion rights, and, you know, being that they were in place for 50 years, you know, and now just taken away, the rug pulled out of everyone, and it will never work having the state decide. That will never work. Because if you think
about Kansas and Kentucky, they won the, you know, in their constitution for abortion.
Yeah.
What I'm saying, it just will never work. You know, it depends on who's governor, you know, who's in the legislature, you know, what kind of crackpots are there? Are they, you know, Democrats? Are they Republicans? It will never work. And, you know, we've said this before. This country is the United States of America. That sort of vote needs to be for every woman. You know, every woman should have the right to choose her body. The government
has no say.
And that's the way it should be. And Roe versus Wade had it right. It had it right. It's just that these, you know, these fake Christians, you know, want to blow everything up and cause, you know, such discourse in this country. It's wrong. It's just wrong.
They fear women being empowered. They fear women leading a household. They fear women actually looking at their career first before they decide to have a family and everything else.
This
policy has always been a dog. Like, it's never been good policy when you put it towards the population because people don't agree with it. But the Federalist Society, that's the name I was trying to think of a couple of weeks ago, has spent so much money and so much blood and treasure trying to get lawyers, judges, and everything else to finally get this thing done. And then they got it done and found out the dog caught the car. The car is heavy. And they're finding that out.
Absolutely. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's just crazy. You know, if we're going to be a democracy, then treat women like we live in a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the Federalist Society are billionaires, too, because they're the ones that give, Thomas's big vacations and all the money and all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yep.
So it's all about the money and power. Money and power, that's all it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to ask this other question, a lighthearted question. So, the eclipse came and went. I guess the rapture didn't happen. So what was your experience with seeing the eclipse? It was just like a regular, ordinary another day, or, you know, did it mesmerize you? You know, what was the feeling like in your state?
In the area that I live, it just got gloomy. Well, the sun was out, and then it got a little gloomy. The sun never went away. Like, the sun didn't go away. It was very weird. Because outside kind of looked great, and then it got kind of dark in the house like a storm. But we didn't have, we could not see in the sky. You couldn't see, like, this, you know, the eclipse itself. It was happening somewhere else, but we got some of the effects from it. So that was
right.
That was
We've got about 80% here where I'm at. And it was a perfect sunny day, and you could see it really good. I mean, we didn't get the whole eclipse. It looked like a crescent moon eventually, a real skinny piece. And then it went almost covered it, but not quite. It was really neat. It was cold. The wind was blowing. I about froze. I couldn't wait till it blew across. But it was really, really, really cool.
You know, like in Vermont, Texas, where they had the full eclipse. I mean, that to watch was amazing, because I was watching it on television, and it got dark as night, just all of a sudden, dark as night, you know, and it was wild. I mean, I've never seen a full eclipse. And, I mean, do you guys remember in 2017, we had a partial eclipse? And guess who looked up into the sky?
Without glasses. Too bad we didn't blind them. I'm bad. I said too bad we didn't blind them, but I'm bad. That was nasty.
Gary and I watched the eclipse from when it started, and we watched it through very, very dark welder's glasses, which we did use in 2017, and we watched the ring go around from the left all the way around to the bottom, and when the ring was about at 1 o'clock, if you're looking at a ball, about 1 o'clock, it was really gloomy out. It was weird. The sun was shining, but it was gloomy. And it got cold. Now, Mr. Rucker, this morning, the newscaster that does the weather, Al Rucker, he said don't be surprised or be surprised that your temperature, it can drop as much as 10 to 15 degrees. And he was right. As we were on the patio, it was very warm. Then all of a sudden, it got cold.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then
he
said that you can have a wind. Well, we didn't have a wind, but there was a breeze. I would say when the eclipse was about, when the half little slit was about at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. A breeze also came up, and I found it to be very interesting. But of course, I watched the other partial eclipse, and it was very similar, except this one seemed to be a little bit more dramatic.
Well, that's because it's a full eclipse, you know. And the thing that gets me is that people drove, I mean, from Michigan to Ohio, and, you know, into different states. Some came from California to watch the eclipse, you know, in Illinois. They were in Illinois and Pennsylvania. And, you know, people were traveling just to see the eclipse. And then when and people talk about the economy, it doesn't seem like the economy bothers anyone. If they
there was a couple
their...
from Switzerland and Texas they interviewed.
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
It's nuts. It yeah, they spent over $1,000 a night on a motel to go see, you know, for what, 20 minutes, 30 minutes for the whole thing?
Yeah, it was just, you know, something for them to do. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, the Republican Party wants to make it sound like people are starving to death. Well, I'm sorry, but everything that I'm about, and yes, I am sure that there are people that are struggling, but that's always been forever. Am I right about that? I mean, there's always people struggling. I mean, doesn't matter who it is, up or down. There is always people struggling for different reasons. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons that you struggle. So
and right now, it's the corporations that are gouging, like how much a car costs, the interest rates on a mortgage, the rent.
Yeah.
That's all gouging. And, you know, getting less peanuts in the bag or chips in a bag, but charging you more, the toilet paper rolls, blah, 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 all that. It's all gouging. And the poor people at the end of the economy are suffering the most because they can barely make it, even though they're working their butts off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Another call up from Michigan.
Going back to the economy and the eclipse. I-75, they said going south at 10 o'clock in the morning was very crowded.
Mm-hmm.
And Cedar Point, which is an amusement park in our area, David, in Ohio, they opened it, and they were charging $100 a person.
Yeah.
So the economy was
real
bad. They were charging $100 a person just to come in on onto Cedar Point so that you could see the eclipse. So this is your baloney about it's the economy, stupid. You Republicans have missed the boat because it's not the economy.
People are spending.
Madeline calling from Michigan. Hello, Madeline. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Hello, everybody. I think Lori said it best last night. She said when she started listing the bottom line of all these multi-billion-dollar corporations making extremely outrageous profits, and then the Republicans want to say the economy's lousy. And why is that the case? They're gouging, and it's greed. It's nothing that Biden did. In fact, that orange monster left a mess. Because once he knew it was starting time to campaign and rally, that's all he did his last month of his presidency. So you know what? Lori nailed it. Lori nailed it.
That's why their rhetoric is so divisive and so ugly. Because when call somebody who is a centrist like Biden has been all of his life, when you start calling him a socialist and a Marxist, it takes away his ability to step in front of those corporations and stop the shrinkflation and the greedflation that have led to what we're actually talking about. So you take his ability away to do that because you're going to tar him as a socialist when he should intervene in the economy and stop these corporations from doing this. So they want to have it both ways. They want to sit up and stop him from doing that.
Exactly, Eric.
And then complain about what the corporations are doing without ever calling the corporations out. They just say the economy, and they lean to inflation, and their supporters eat it up.
You know what? I like the fact that, Lori, it takes, you know, these corporations, every show, and list the top five or the next five or the next five, and then move on to your topic. These people need to be reminded.
I have two more tonight. Kroger. I don't know if I don't know, Naj, if you know who Kroger is, but Kroger is.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Midwest boy at heart. I'm in the South, but I grew up in the Midwest.
So Kroger, their annual revenue was $150 billion, a 1.2% increase from 2023. And their annual revenue for 2023 was $148 billion. A 7.52 increase from 2022. And in 2022, they had $137 billion, which was a 4% increase from 2021. But in 2024, $150 billion. And that's because...
And this is only April.
They raised prices on everything. On everything.
That's why people are suffering.
Yep.
Exactly.
And at the same time, Kroger is trying to do a merger with a smaller grocery retailer. And, of course, that gives them more market share so they can do
exactly.
even more price gouging.
Monopoly,
now, add the gig workers on top of this.
Monopoly, yeah.
Monopoly, here we come.
Right, right. When we look at, okay. let's look at the gig workers with Uber Eats and DoorDash and all these other companies where they're just gouging people $7 fees, $9 fees, and all this other stuff. Meanwhile, the gig workers, they won't even let them get any type of, safety net. You saw in Minnesota where Uber said, we'll buy out and leave before we allow our workers to be titled
yep.
as employees with the things that come
yep.
with it.
Yep.
unemployment and, all
yep.
the different safety net things you need as an employee. And these
yeah.
people are driving their own cars, spending their own gas. So
yeah.
it's
mm-hmm.
the worst deal possible. You get a share of the profit from the transaction, but you got to use your own car, you got to use your own gas, and Uber
yep.
takes their cut first.
Yeah,
and you can and hopefully you could declare some of this on your taxes, on their taxes, the
huh.
use of
mm-hmm.
their vehicles for their business.
Yeah.
It's
another way
helpful.
They're gouging the people is you take a 12-ounce can of soup. Now the can is 10 ounces. All you need is 12 cans, and the 12th can is to your profit, isn't it?
Oh,
yep.
yeah.
Yeah,
the ratio of CEOs.
I mean, you only take 8 cans. The 8th can is sheer profit because you stole
yeah.
the 2 ounces from all the other cans, and
oh,
that
yeah.
and that goes on with everything you're picking up now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just potato chips.
Shrinkinflation, Elaine.
No, I've got a couple of older cans down there that I bought new on sale. And then I looked at it and I said, wait a minute, this can is smaller. Sure
yeah.
enough, from 16 ounces, it was 15. Another can from 16 ounces, it was 14.
Yeah.
Just
and
enough
you
so
know,
you don't catch it.
What drives me nuts is they're calling it inflation and then they raise interest rates on mortgages. Now, how could that be? It's not inflation. It's
no.
greed. And then they make it worse for people. Here their groceries are more, but also they can't afford the rent for apartments and their mortgages or pay for their car that costs more than houses
credit cards.
Too.
And
you know,
their credit
the mortgages
cards
I don't understand because I've been on a couple posts where they were giving the figures for mortgages. Mortgages go from one extreme to the other in the year that you're looking at. If
now
you have good credit, you get a lower mortgage. People are remortgaging all the time. I remember when we bought our house, the mortgage was high, and then we remortgaged. And where they
mm-hmm.
made their money? Closing costs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we remortgaged for a lower rate, but, boy, we paid through the nose for closing costs. Oh, and points, which I never understood.
Yeah.
May Tom Selleck burn in hell for doing all those refinance ads and all that other stuff he was doing where elderly people who were, crunched because they got set up with a balloon payment mortgage and that now they had to keep that as the baseline and it's driving people out of their homes, pulling
yep.
their last out of them and, the kids kind of have to step in and try to help. Like some of this stuff is so just egregious. You couldn't justify this to anybody. Then we got Blackstone.
No.
Remember, not BlackRock, Blackstone. That's the domestic
mm-hmm.
company that is buying retail. So they're buying up all these homes, and, of course, they want to make a profit on these homes, which means just driving up the cost for everybody. So, again,
mm-hmm.
corporate malfeasance. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And,
it is.
And
yeah, it's like the mob running the country.
Mm-hmm.
During Bush, that where the banks went in the toilet, they were buying up houses cheap and they were reselling them
at inflated profits, and it was all with their appraisers. I mean, we had a show not too long ago about that, where I explained that these appraisers were told, you know, you bump these prices up.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people went to jail on that one. Not
See,
the big guys, the little guys.
Now,
for overappraising property.
Now y'all got
the basement's
so
flooded.
The,
well, then that's an in-ground swimming pool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So after the housing crisis, when we came in and tried to regulate and create a situation where that couldn't happen again, you know what they did? They figured out a loophole, and the people in Michigan are definitely going to know this. So Ishbia, who's now the owner of the Phoenix Suns NBA team, his mortgage company, along with Dan Gilbert's mortgage company, act as a go-between so the banks don't have to take any risk, and they are the ones profiting off all of these mortgages right now. There's a really good investigative journalism done by sports reporter, kind of weird, Pablo Torre. He has an hour-long show about Ishbia, Dan Gilbert, and what they've done with mortgages all over the Midwest. These are two of the new biggest billionaires out there. Again, the man bought an NBA team. He played for Michigan State in the year 2000 and now has an empire big enough to where he's buying NBA teams. So, yeah,
man,
look into that.
Right.
Pablo Torre.
Yep, that's crazy. Yeah, he's well known here in Michigan, Dan Gilbert.
Yeah, he bought up half of Detroit downtown, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yep.
Him and Illich, they were buying up everything.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I think he started Quicken Loans. I don't know if you guys.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Quicken Loans.
But there's a big difference between Dan Gilbert and Illich. Illich gave back to the community.
Yeah, I know. He fixed the Fox and did a lot of stuff.
He was different than Dan Gilbert. Did he have a stroke?
He moved the Opera House.
Yeah.
He made sure that that got a new place in Detroit. He moved the Opera House. The lady on the bus.
Rosa Parks.
Rosa Parks. He found out that she was having hard times, and he got her a riverfront apartment, and she lived the rest of her life not worrying about anything. He made sure she had medical treatment, food, and a nice apartment facing the Detroit River. So, I mean,
he didn't have to do that.
And never said a word to anybody about it. People found out about it after he passed, after he died.
Yeah. He was a good guy.
Y'all know me. I can go a little too far left. But tell me if I'm going too far left by saying this. The people before, the robber barons of before who we used to criticize all of the time, at least those people had a social contract and a social understanding that there was something that had to be put back after you take out so much.
Absolutely.
So when you go to these cities and you see a Carnegie Library or a Carnegie Opera House, a Vanderbilt this, Vanderbilt that, that group understood that as the titans of industry at that time, they tried to put things back into the country. This group of billionaires we're dealing with now do not think that way. They believe they can pull out whatever they want and nothing has to be put back. There is
You know what's important to them? Building the biggest yacht. For example, the owner and founder of Amazon, he has a $500 billion yacht. He wants to go to space like Elon Musk, create space tourism and everything. How is that helping people or helping the economy? It's just putting more money in their pockets. You get what I'm saying? And it's like we're going through a second gilded age here where, you know, the rich are tired of paying the taxes and, you know, just to hell with everybody, you know. It's just frightening where this country is headed. And I hope, you know, that this election put back Joe Biden in place and elect Democrats, not only on the federal level, but also statewide and on a local level. Because, you know, it's one thing to vote on the federal level, but we have to build from the ground up, you know. And exactly. I feel that this election, Democrats going to have such a blue wave, you know. Republicans don't see it coming. The media and the pundits don't see it coming. You know, and of late, they've been wrong in their punditry. You know, they were wrong definitely in 2016. You get what I'm saying? So,
well,
I
in my old age, I'm going to help the Dems, our local Democrats. I've never did anything in politics before, but this time I'm going to go all in because we got to do something. You can't complain if you don't do something.
If you don't vote, you don't have a say in anything that goes on in this country. If you do not vote, that's it. You know,
yes, because it is a privilege, opinion, not a right.
Yeah, in my opinion, you know, I
am concerned
about the young people in terms of the Gaza. There's a lot of young people very, very outspoken and concerned, and I don't know where they're going to go because I'm not sure how it's going to be by the time the election comes. But a lot of young people are happy.
I am certain, this is what I'm going to do there. I am certain that Joe Biden is almost to the point where he is ready to cut Netanyahu off and give him an ultimatum. Yahoo.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think is going to happen. I think he wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, and now it's very, especially what happened with the those seven that were their cars were on
kitchen
of
them.
World Central Kitchen. What is that organization called again?
World Central Kitchen.
Yeah.
Pardon?
World Central Kitchen.
Yeah, World Central Kitchen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So especially after that, I really think that touched Joe Biden in a way that, you know, he feels enough is enough now. Maybe he wanted to give him enough rope to hang himself, but those cars were so marked. The tops of those cars were marked. They could see that they were not, that, you know, who they were.
And they told them in advance that they were coming in to meet the people. And they had approval, and they bombed them anyway.
So that's why.
Netanyahu doesn't want them to get fed, I believe.
That is kind of the last
straw. Netanyahu wants them to get fed. They die earlier that way, and you don't feed them.
Yeah, but don't forget, the Israel people went and had a massive rally, and they told Netanyahu he's not doing his job. Killing people does not bring back the hostages.
The hostages
are not shooting back. I don't know where Netanyahu gets the idea that's a war. Nobody's shooting back.
He's like Trump. He's supposed to go to jail. They were investigating him, and that started a war.
That war worked right into his plans, and they're still rumbling that he knew that Hamas was going to do what he did.
He did. He had the plan. Mm-hmm. Also, Israel isn't going to write off, oh, I don't believe it. They knew ahead of time, at least a year ahead of time, up to the IDF, and Netanyahu was sending a lot of money to Hamas, the enemy supposedly, sending them a lot of money, trying to keep things divided. And when they finally came, it took 9 hours before they acted. It wouldn't surprise me. That's just me. That he's willing to sacrifice some of his own people there so that he has a reason to decimate Palestine.
Sacrifice some of his own Israelite people. Gaza was mixed with Jewish people and Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
They were living side by side. It was mostly Palestinians, but there was an awful lot of Jewish people that wanted to live there. And did live there.
Yeah, there were a majority. But when they created the state of Israel, though, part of the plan from the Zionists back in the 1880s was once you get it, you transfer the others out. And they have been doing that ever since. It never said a damn thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right, listen, we got to go, man. But Naj in Atlanta, Georgia, Elaine in Michigan, Susan in Michigan, Madeline and Doris in Michigan. Thank you so much for calling in. It was a spirited show and everything. And is America in a political panic? Temporarily, because Joe Biden and Democrats may run roughshod over Republicans and Trump, and hopefully Trump will be in prison. And being in prison, that will make him a martyr, you know, because people are turning against him and hating him. And as slowly but surely, facts and information coming out, you know, it's going to turn the tide. Even though, you know, different polls saying that he has a slim lead and RFK making a difference and a dent and hurting Biden, as Nash said earlier, it's cutting into Trump voters. So it's going to backfire majorly. You know, so let's just hope for the best.
Keep showing those polls as the Dems are down so that way people turn out. Don't let us get fat and happy. Let us think that we're losers. I love it.
And another trial is supposed to start the middle of this month. Another trial. He's trying to get out of that, but there's another trial starting in the middle of this month.
April 15th. Tax day.
Yes, ma'am. Right. Oh, and a friend of mine, Kathy, from Ocala, Florida, said, you know, she loved the show. She loved Lori and the ladies and Naj. You know, so, you know, we're getting people, you know, listening, you know, and commenting. And, you know, I don't want to call, but some of them shy and everything. But, you know, we're glad that the numbers are up. Not even in America only, but in Canada, in Europe, in Asia, all over the place.
Yeah.
So we have international callers and everything. So we're grateful for that.
Excellent. That's why they need to
Yes, ma'am. So we're going to be on again Thursday night, same time, same place, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Block Talk Radio. Remember to visit our website, kitchenpolitics123.com. And a special thanks to Worthmore Business, June, who's doing an excellent job with the website, and also Jerry and Brittany, you know, keeping us afloat and everything. And, you know, we'll have the different recipes out there, people, you know, responding that the recipes are good. More recipes to come, trying to work on some vegetarian ones now. And, you know, the merch thing, I promise you, in a couple of weeks' time, we'll be up and running. The IRS is hell to work with the IRS. You know, let me just leave that back. You go through hell dealing with the IRS.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's been a year. But I digress. IRS,
I
hope Joe Biden gives you the money that you need and the more, agents to go out there to go after rich people and wealthy people who will pay the taxes. But a little man us, you know, we're doing our best to put the information out there so people can vote intelligently. You know, so keep up the good work, IRS, even though, you know, some of you, well, let me not say it. Now, IRS, do your thing. Okay, Thursday. We'll see you next time on Thursday, 9:30 p.m.
Okay, good night.
Good night,
I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Everyone have a good evening. Be safe. And we will see you Thursday. Bye now.
Good night. Woo!
Good night. Good night, all.
Good night. Now, in 2024, he's running to pass them. It's for 54 years they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it. And I'm proud to have done it. In 2016, Donald Trump ran to overturn Roe v. Wade. Now, in 2024, he's running to pass a national ban on a woman's right to choose. I'm running to make Roe v. Wade the law of the land again, so women have a federal guarantee to the right to choose. Donald Trump doesn't trust women. I do. I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message. I'm going to go to the hospital. No secret. But here's the deal. I understand how to get things done for the American people. I led the country through the COVID crisis. Today, we have the strongest economy in the world. I passed a law that lowers prescription drug prices, caps insulin at $35 a month procedure. For 4 years, Donald Trump tried to pass an infrastructure law, and he failed. I got it done. Now we're rebuilding America. I passed the biggest law in history to combat climate change because our future depends on it. Donald Trump took away the freedom of women to choose. I'm determined to make Roe v. Wade the law of the land again. Donald Trump believes the job of the president is to take care of Donald Trump. I believe the job of the president is to fight for you, the American people. That's what I'm doing. I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
Can we do one more take?
Look, I'm very young, energetic, and handsome. What the hell am I doing this for?